भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
Hare Krishna, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 1, entitled The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty, Text 18 and 19.
Kim kritam mand bhagyairnah, kim vadishyanti no janah, iti bhivalita gehan, आदाय मुशलम ययुः। किं कृतं मन्दभाग्यैर्नः किं वदिष्यन्ति नो जनः इति बलिता गेहान् आदाय मुशलम ययुः। किं कृतं मन्दभाग्यैर्नः किं वदिष्यन्ति नो जनः इति भीवलिता गेहान् आदाय मुशलं ययुः। Kim, what? Kritam has been done. Mand bhagyai, who are very unfortunate. Nah, by us. Kim, what? Vadishyanti, will they say? Nah, to us. Janaha, the family. Iti, thus speaking. Vihivalitaha, overwhelmed. Gehan, to their homes. Adaya, taking. Mushlam, the club. Yayuhu, they went. Translation: the young men of the Yadu dynasty said, "Oh, what have we done? We are so unfortunate. What will our family members say to us?" Speaking thus and being very disturbed, they returned to their homes, taking the club with them. There is no purport, so we'll take the verse 19th also. 19th verse. Tachopaniya sadasi pari mlana mukha shriya ragya avedayam chakruhu sarva yadava sannidhau. Translation. The Yadu boys, the luster of their faces completely faded, brought the club into the royal assembly, and in the presence of all the Yadavas, they told King Ungrasena what had happened. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word Ragya refers to King Ugrasena and not to Sri Krishna. Because of their shame and fear, the boys did not approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. It's a small purport. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padkamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhaibacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna I seek blessings of all the devotees. While narrating this Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, Sukhdev Goswami at three different places narrates how Krishna promised to the Brajavasis that he'll return back to Vrindavan. One was obviously when he left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, when Akrura had come, that time he promised. And then it said next time he promised was when he killed Kamsa and Nanda Maharaj had come to Mathura, that time he told Nanda Maharaj, I'll come back to Vrindavan. And there's one more time he tells. Anybody knows? One more time he tells, promises Brajavasis that he'll come back to Vrindavan. Sorry? Yeah, through letter. Yeah. When Uddhava went from Dwarka to Vrindavan, in the letter he sent the letters, giving the message to the gopis that he'll come back to Vrindavan. So many times Sukhdev Goswami narrates this to Parikshit Maharaj about these three incidents. But then later on in the Bhagavatam we never hear come across this that, you know, Sukhdev Goswami is narrating to Parikshit Maharaj that Krishna went back to Vrindavan. So is it that Krishna went back to Vrindavan or he did not go, or did he wanted to reveal the glories of gopis being the highest devotees, you know, that love in separation we hear, na? Vipralamba bhav. So did he go or not go back to Vrindavan? We come to know from Acharyas that he did go to Vrindavan back. And when he killed Dantavakra in Mathura, after that he went back to Vrindavan, spent 2 months over there. And that time he actually, after spending 2 months again with the Vrajavasis, then he made them all go back to Godhead in their self-same bodies. So now a small question comes then, why he did not narrate this pastime in the Bhagavatam? Sukhdev Goswami did not narrate this pastime in the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. What is the reason for that? So Acharyas tell that because Parikshit Maharaj has lot of affinities for the Yadus, and just after this pastime of when after killing Dantavakara, it comes in 76th chapter of 10th canto. So our Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary that when he killed Dantavakara, he went back to Vrindavan and then this took all the Vrijvasis back to Godhead in their self-same bodies. So Sukhdeva Goswami realized just after, briefly now afterwards, this Moshal Leela will be happening, he will be describing that. So Parikshit Maharaj will feel bad to hear this inauspicious end of the Yadus, and while Krishna taking the Vrajavasis back to Godhead in the self-same bodies, so he might feel this little unfair arrangement because of his own affinity to Yadus. So that's why Sukhdeva Goswami did not narrate this pastime. So basically because of this, what we are reading right now, this Moshal Leela, that was not described in the Bhagavatam. Canto about Krishna going back to Vrindavan, although it has been described in detail in Padma Puran, that incident of Krishna going back to Vrindavan. Now Parikshit Maharaj is hearing this story and he himself is right now facing the curse of a Brahmana, and he did not immediately say, ye Brahmana log aise hi hote hain, choti si galti ke liye बिना सोचे समझे इतना बड़ा कर्ज दे देते हैं. बिकॉज ही ऑल्सो स्मॉल मिस्टेक, ही गॉट सच अ बिग कर्ज फ्रॉम श्रृंगी, एंड हेयर वी सी यदु कुमार इज ऑल्सो गेटिंग अ बिग कर्ज, एंड नारद मुनि इज इन्वॉल्व हेयर इन दिस पास टाइम. ही इज ऑल्सो अंडरगोइंग टू कर्सेज. फर्स्ट ही वॉज कर्स्ड बाय द प्रजापतिज व्हेन ही वॉज अ गंधर्व टू बिकम अ शूद्र, एंड देन लेटर ऑन दक्षा कर्सेज हिम एंड ही कैनॉट स्टे इन एनी वन प्लेस, ही विल कीप ट्रैवलिंग. So it's interesting to see actually that Srimad Bhagavatam is kind of progressing based on a series of curses. In so many cantos, we'll see so many episodes based on cursing. First canto, beginning of the Bhagavatam itself, we see Parikshit Maharaj being cursed by Sringi, and this entire narration unfolds. In third canto, we have Jaya and Vijay being cursed by the Chatushkumaras, and then they coming to earth. And then we further see their pastimes in 6th canto, 7th canto above Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. In 4th canto, the famous Daksha Yagya, where a lot of cursing and counter-cursing happens. Any other cursing in 4th canto apart from Daksha? We have King Vena story. Brahmanas curse Vena and they kill him. And then Prithu Maharaj is born. 6th canto, any cursing? Chitraketu Maharaj, famous Vitrasur pastime, Chitraketu Maharaj is cursed by Parvati Devi, and that pastime unfolds. Also in 6th canto, Narad Muni is cursed by Daksha Maharaj, Daksha Prajapati. 7th canto, we have Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. 8th canto, Indradumna Maharaj is cursed to become an elephant, Gajendra pastime comes in, and Shukracharya curses Bali Maharaj. And demigods are cursed by Durvasa Muni and they lose all their opulence when Indra disrespects them. 9th canto, we have Nahusha is cursed by Brahmanas to become a python. Shukracharya curses Jayati. 10th canto, we have famous Nalkuvar Manigrip pastime, Narad Muni curses them. And we in the Kaliya pastime, Sabari Muni curses Garuda. 11th canto, we have this famous pastime going on. So lot of cursing episodes throughout the Bhagavatam are there. In the 5th canto, in the episode of Rahuguna Maharaj and Jad Bharat, Rahuguna Maharaj, just after he realizes his mistake and recognizing the exalted position of Jad Bharat, he speaks in the very beginning of his prayers a very nice verse. नाहं विशंके सुरराज वज्रान नात्रयक्ष शूलान नयमस्य दंडात नाग्नियर्क सोमालिद वित्तपस्त्रात शंके वृषं ब्रह्म कुलावमानात. Very nicely says Rahuguna is saying, praying, I am not afraid of fire, scorching sun, nor the weapons of Kuvera. I am not afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra, nor am I afraid of the piercing trident of Lord Shiva. I am not at all afraid of Yamaraj. Yet I am afraid of offending a Brahmana. I am very much afraid of this. So, yeah, we have to be very careful. I heard somewhere that our Prabhupada disciple Haladini Mataji used to say, I am not afraid of death, but I am afraid of offending a devotee. So, Vaishnavas may not utter a curse on us, like we see here, but if we just displease them, that itself will lead to a lot of trouble for our spiritual life. And in the purport to that Rahuguna verse which we read just now, Prabhupada writes, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Rupa Goswami at Prayag, he pointed out very clearly the seriousness of offending a Vaishnava. He compared the Vaishnava aparad to a mad elephant offense. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it spoils all the fruits and flowers. Similarly, if one offends a Vaishnava, he spoils all his spiritual assets. Offending a Brahmana is very dangerous, and this was known to Maharaj Rahuguna. He therefore frankly admitted his fault. There are many dangerous things in this world, thunderbolts, fire, Yamaraj punishment, the punishment of Lord Shiva, and so forth. But none is considered as serious as offending a devotee like Jad Bharat or a Brahmana. Therefore, Maharaj Rahuguna immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat before the lotus feet of the Brahmana Jad Bharat, just to be excused. So here we are seeing just, now one interesting thing is, how could just one club cause the death of an entire dynasty? And that too not any ordinary dynasty or any ordinary family. This is the dynasty of Yadus, the most powerful dynasty. Means Krishna himself was there. But then Yadu Kumaras knew the power of Brahmana's curse. From what we saw above also, these references, they knew the power of Brahmana's curse. In fact, in one more place, in fourth canto, in one verse, just like in the famous seventh Gita, seventh chapter, 14th verse, when Krishna says, Devi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya. This tells how difficult it is to overcome this material energy of Krishna. Durateya word is used. So in that fourth canto, Daksha episode, that same word Durateya is used to describe the power of Brahmana's curse. It says, Brahma Dandam Duratayam, insurmountable. So that is the power of this Brahmana's curse, Vaishnava's curse. And these were not ordinary Brahmanas in this pastime what we are seeing. They are of the caliber of Narad Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, Vasishtha Muni. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, they were not just Brahmanas, they were great devotees also. So ordinary men would not dare to do this, actually. To take, you know, as they say, panga, or, you know, fight with this caliber of Brahmanas and devotees. But because these Yadu Kumaras, they had this great family connection. They knew that we belong to this great family. So on that strength, they dare to do this with this great exalted Brahmanas and great devotees like Narada, Vishwamitra, Vasishta. So same for us also. It's called borrowed strength. We should be careful not to think that because I am this great mission, great temple and great spiritual masters, so I can afford to, you know, play around or do some mischief. Srila Prabhupada used to say in first canto, we should not be proud of our borrowed plumes. And one more thing is, when these Yadukumaras, they do that prank on these great exalted Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and then they curse them, they did not ask forgiveness from them. Usually we see, when we realize our mistake, you know, in Bhagavatam also, we go and ask forgiveness. So probably only reason I could think of, because this course of events has to go on, has to move on. So that's why. Otherwise, ideally speaking, they were very cultured people in those Vedic times, and ordinary person would be very cultured. What to speak of these people from Yadu dynasty, highly cultured in all respects. But still they are not asking forgiveness, because I think the course of events has to move on. They just run back, fearful. And another thing is, in Vrindavan, if you see, whenever any demons will attack, everyone would run to a little Gopal, Krishna, Kana. Oh Krishna, Krishna, please save us. This demon has come. Although Krishna was young that time. And same we'll see in Mathura, Dwarka, anywhere, anytime any problems happen, everybody would rush to Krishna for help. But here these Yadukumaras are not going to Krishna. They are going to Ugrasena Maharaj for help. And Acharyas mentioned, because they realized a big mistake. And it's not because of the very strong or powerful curse which they have got. They did not go to Krishna, because now entire dynasty will be finished. But they were afraid to go to Krishna because they knew we have offended the devotees. And Krishna will be unhappy with that. Any other demon or other problems, they will go to Krishna. But then their own problem of offending a devotee. How to go to Krishna now? Now for most of us, we will not dare to offend any senior most devotees, Vaishnavas. But generally to our equals, who are little senior, to them we have this problem of offending and problems. So just a few points I heard in one lecture of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He was mentioning, it's not that we have to be careful only with senior most Vaishnavas, even with everyone we have to be careful of offenses. In fact, he was mentioning how whoever the senior most Vaishnava is today amongst us, few years back they were probably also karmis. Then they slowly came to Krishna consciousness, they became new bhaktas, then they got initiated, and now they are the senior most Vaishnavas. So we never know whom we are dealing with, what they will be after some years. So we should be careful. And then Vaishnava aparad is like putting Hanuman's tail on fire. The fire we light to hurt someone, same fire will come back to burn us. Also, this is a very interesting thing. When we are angry with someone, probably we are envious of someone, we have problems with someone. So one thing our mind and intelligence does is we see the other person is not a Vaishnava actually. Just minimize his position. Because of some problems, or some shortcomings or something, if we don't see somebody as a Vaishnava, that doesn't mean Krishna doesn't see him as a Vaishnava. Krishna still sees him as a Vaishnava, and if we do not respect him or her, then Krishna's wrath will come upon us. And the famous Punar Mushika Bhava. Whatever position we are in little bit, we again go back to being a mouse. What we were before coming to Krishna consciousness. That bhajan or that line comes, na? Any offense to Krishna or holy name, that holy name will forgive. But an offense to Vaishnava, even holy name will not forgive. Tomas thane aparade nahi paritran. Offense to a feet of a Vaishnava, it's difficult to get relief. Benjamin Franklin said, things that hurt, instruct. Things that hurt, instruct. So that's why this mechanism has been developed. You know, any offense we do, we immediately get reaction. Yadukumaras are getting a heavy reaction here to instruct them and instruct all of the world also. And that famous quote by Martin Luther King, he said, we have guided missiles and misguided men. So he was referring in the context that world has made so much progress that they are guided missiles, they'll go and hit a particular target. But then other than that, so much advancement in science, but the men, quality of men has not improved. Men are misguided. So, in my understanding, I made a corollary of this, that probably they are interrelated. Because there are misguided men, they are guided missiles. Because of misguided men, there are guided missiles. Yadukumaras also acted like misguided men, and as a result came this guided missile in the form of guided club and the curse. So if our actions and behavior is misguided, then a reaction perfectly guided towards us is coming. And we see many examples actually how just by misbehavior of one person or a small group, a big community has to suffer. Due to aparad of Ramchandra Khan to Lord Nityananda, the entire village had to suffer. Entire Lanka was destroyed due to Ravana's offense. Entire heaven due to Indra's offense to Brihaspati. So like that, it's a communal, like large scale reaction. And of course they were all big, big leaders in their own territories. Okay, now there's one line in one bhajan, Asurakul Nashanam. It comes in one bhajan. Krishna is Asurakul Nashanam. It comes in the Yashomati Nandan Brajabaranagar. Brajajanapalan Asurakul Nashanam. So Krishna is the destroyer of Asurakul Nasha, of the kulas of asuras. And here in this pastime we are saying, some verses back it comes, Moshalam Kulanashanam. His own kula is going to get destroyed now. Krishna is arranged in such a way, getting his own kula nasha, destroying his own kula. There is one devotee, Ayodhya Deva Prabhu. He wrote a very nice small kind of a poem with rhymes. We all like to, you know, read rhyming poems, small lines. But it's based on this very heavy topic of offenses. I'll just like to read this. It all ends with sighs, criticize like that. If with devotees we become like flies, and the feel the need to criticize, tell outrageous lies, their faults advertise, fall downs publicize, or dislike or even despise, stigmatize, demonize, scandalize, minimize, polarize, or want to terrorize, maybe even ostracize. It may come as a surprise, but the wise advise and emphasize that we have to realize and recognize the need to apologize with tears in the eyes. Otherwise, as our enthusiasm dies and our problems arise, this attitude will cause our demise. The boat we are on is going to capsize. Our spiritual life we will surely jeopardize. Anything we have achieved will vaporize, and thus we can wave our own bhakti bye-byes. Now, one interesting thing is, if these Yadu Kumaras, anyway, they were very in their youth, they had this, you know, doing naughty things and pranks. If they had done this prank with Krishna, instead of this, then it would not have been such a big problem actually. See, these sages in their childhood would not have done pranks or naughty things, but Krishna, and we know, Krishna is like, I was thinking, apart from his six opulences of being, you know, most rich, most famous, most strong, he is most naughty also. That's the seventh opulence. In childhood pastimes of Vrindavan Leela, we saw what all naughty pranks he did. So Krishna would have actually, if they would have gone with a, you know, fake pregnant, that Samba, and gone to Krishna asking what he will be, a boy or a girl, Krishna would have said, it would be a boy. Instead of the boys laughing, Krishna would have the last laugh, you know. He would have actually made him a pregnant with boy. Or if they have removed the cloth and seen actually a boy crying over there, so I think Krishna would have said, Bachcho, this school mein aapne admission liya, uske hum principal reh chuke hain. So outsmarting, last laugh, checkmate, Krishna can do very nicely. So they would be much safer doing these pranks with Krishna instead of these, you know, serious brahmanas. And we hear so many, you know, pastimes, nice pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, that famous one which Radhanath Maharaj tells very nicely. How gopis would be so much troubled by his daily distilling butter. And then one lady finally, after too much frustration, finally caught him and said, today I'll take you red-handed now to Yashodama. So as she was taking, you know, Krishna changed. Krishna became that gopi's own son. And then she went to Yashoda, she was fully embarrassed. You know, her own son is there. And Krishna tells them, next time I'll become your husband if you don't behave properly. And when in the Vrindavan, ladies and gents would be bathing at different bathing ghats, Krishna would exchange their clothes. Everybody would be in trouble later on. And Nimai, Lord Chaitanya did so many pastimes in his childhood, even with Brahmanas. Brahmanas would be doing their Gayatri underwater. He'll go underwater and just pull their legs. And that bhoga offering pastime of Brahmana trying to offer bhoga to his deities, how Nimai would again and again go and spoil that offering. Devamrit Swami Maharaj in one lecture was telling how devotional service is very, very serious. We cannot afford to play around. He was saying, it's very, very rare for us. We have got this rare, especially Gaudiya Vaishnava Bhakti, after many, many lifetimes. So we cannot afford to play around. Yet bhakti is joyful, he was mentioning. These are not, you know, mutually exclusive terms. We have to be careful of offenses, you know, with dealing with Vaishnavas. But at the same time, we can be playful. We cannot play around, but we can be playful. Play around is, you know, you cannot just take somebody for granted or be offensive. But we can be playful sometimes, you know, have wild dancing, kirtans, feasts, and many ways to enjoy. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, that famous pastime, comes. Even these great devotees, they are playing very joyfully in Puri, that pond, that lake. What they say? Kola? What they say? Narendra Sarovar, yeah, that pastime. Big devotees like Nityanand Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, all those greats, they are playing with teams. Actually, they made teams and then they were sporting and throwing water, winning, enjoying like that. And most of all, the great erudite scholar like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya engaged in, his opponent was Ramananda Rai. They were lost in their play in the lake playing. And Lord Chaitanya had to call them out, come now, sufficient, enough ho gaya, chalo bahar. And I was thinking of this pastime of, you know, fake pregnancy. I remembered our Srila Prabhupada disciple, His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj. He was known as Jolly Swami, always very joyful. And towards the end of his life, he got a very incurable disease of hepatitis C and very advanced stage of liver cancer, due to which his abdomen was very much filled with liquids, abdomen was fully swollen. And in the end days, he just came to Mayapur to leave his body. So very weak, very, you know, tense situation. There were few devotees in his room. Everybody was very sober. Maharaj was in intense pain, lying down with his eyes closed. And the doctor came. He was with the stethoscope checking Maharaj's abdomen. And then Maharaj, in his joyful style, says, "Doctor, it's a baby boy." Because his abdomen was very much swollen. It looked like pregnancy. And Sridhar Maharaj made a joke on himself that it's a baby boy. And everybody laughed, doctor, all the devotees. He immediately made the mood light. So internet, I was searching about what actually disease Maharaj had. I didn't know the exact name of the disease, so it was hepatitis C and liver cancer. So I came across one BTG article, which was published in 2004, after the disappearance of Sridhar Maharaj. Very brilliant article glorifying Sridhar Maharaj. I forgot what I was searching for in the article. The entire article I read, so inspiring, his dedication to Prabhupada's mission. He was given sannyas initiation by Srila Prabhupada in 1975. All these years till 2004, even after so much troubles which ISKCON went through, so many sannyasis left, he stayed steadily serving ISKCON in so many difficult projects throughout. And like we hear the famous statement, Prabhupada used to say, like, Bombay is my office, Vrindavan is my home, Mayapur is my place of worship. Sridhar Maharaj used to say, Bombay is my everything. My home, place of worship, my... and? Office. He served in Juhu temple for many years. And that famous statement of Sridhar Maharaj was mentioned in the article, that misery is unavoidable, but suffering is optional. And one very touching point in the article was, yeah, when he was coming to Mayapur from Vancouver to leave his body, it was this time only, actually, Gaur Purnima time, this time exactly. These were the days when he came to Mayapur in 2004. So when they were coming from that Yogpeet side, Indradyumna Maharaj was accompanying him in the car, and they heard loud kirtan. So entire GBC body had come out to receive him. And it's not the GBC body came out to the temple hall or outside the Counts building. They came to the main road, public road, outside the main gate of Mayapur. Entire GBC body is there to receive Sridhar Maharaj when he was preparing to leave his body. So it's really very inspiring article. I recommend all of you can read that. It's BTG Jolly Swami. Now our I heard from Shamanand Prabhu once, like there is something called, a phrase called stump the pastor. Stump the pastor. You know what's the meaning? You know, asking a very difficult question to the pastor. In churches we have pastors, like we have Prabhus here, our devotees, pastors. So you ask very challenging questions to them. And either way, you know, it's very difficult to answer. Either answer you give, you are in trouble kind of. What answer to give, you won't understand. So this is like something like what is Yadu Kumaras are doing. Anything you say, whether it be a boy or a girl, you are like going to be wrong. Neither boy nor girl. So some examples came to my mind. Once Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, he was pursuing his PhD in religious field, some religion. So he asked this professor of religion, what does God do on Sunday? So that professor was completely taken aback. He said, such questions are not allowed here. By the same time, we'll see when somebody would ask Prabhupada such questions, challenging questions. Prabhupada is very cool, relaxed. Some reporters, so many reporters would ask so many challenging questions, TV interviews. Prabhupada is always cool. You know, somebody would ask, is the earth flat or round? Everywhere I walk, it is flat. And this was, one was very amazing, you know. Probably some of you would have heard the answer, but first time if we come across, we'll be so much embarrassed what to answer. You know, we say, you know, pure devotee, they know everything, he's very knowledgeable. So somebody challenged him. In US, there is a famous Empire State Building. How many windows are there? Do you know how many windows are there in Empire State Building? So how would you answer that? Yeah? Prabhupada said, as many drops of water in a mirage. It's inconsequential. What does it matter, you know, how many drops, how many windows are there in the Empire State? It doesn't matter how many drops of water there in a mirage. It's all anyway illusion only, illusory. And now in those days, 70s, you know, any educated person, if you tell them, you know, about this hell, nark, they think, you know, okay, it's some foolish, you know, you believe in hell? It looks like a very outlandish idea. Hell bhi hai karke aisa kahin punishment milti hai. So, one very famous, you know, London reporter trying to, you know. First question he asked, do you believe in hell? Prabhupada immediately, London is hell. He was completely taken aback. He could not recover from that. Prabhupada had to encourage, no, but still you Britishers have done a lot of good work. And London has good things also, like that. Somebody would ask, can God create a very heavy rock which nobody can lift, even God cannot lift? Such kind of challenging questions called stump the pastor, but then, you know, great devotees and Krishna, they can easily counter stump them easily. So these were the few thoughts, and today is appearance day of Sri Purushottam Das Thakur, great associate of in the Chaitanya Leela. He is one of the Dwadasha Gopas, very close associate, 12 principal associates of Balramji and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And interestingly, he was also from a Vaidya family, Ayurvedic Vaidya family. And his father and son were great personalities. His father was Sadashiv Kaviraj, who is none other than Chandravali Gopi. So we know who is Purushottam Das Thakur. His father was Chandravali Gopi in Krishna Leela. And then his son was Kanu Thakur. He was a great devotee from his childhood. And when he was just 5 years old, Mother Janava Devi, Janava Mata, took him to Vrindavan. And all the Goswamis were very, very happy upon seeing this child who had ecstatic symptoms of Krishna Bhakti. And they all gave him the name Kanahi Thakur. He was the son of Purushottam Das Thakur. His samadhi is in the 64 samadhis area in Vrindavan. So we can pray to Srila Purushottam Das Thakur for his mercy and mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Balramji. And pray that we be careful, we don't offend the devotees, and we remain sincere in our devotional service. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.